The Meditation from the TSO's Juno Award-winning recording of Jules Massenet's grand opera, Thaïs, an ambitious project led by the late TSO conductor laureate Sir Andrew Davis. Hello and welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO on the new Classical FM. I'm Kathleen Kadioka. Tonight, a special edition in memory of this most beloved friend of the TSO, Sir Andrew Davis, who passed away on April 20th at the age of 80 after a battle with leukemia. Over the course of 50 years, the British maestro forged a deep relationship with the TSO and an indelible impression upon Toronto audiences. From his first guest appearance in 1974 through his 13 years as music director from 1975 to 1988 and annual appearances every season since as conductor laureate, including an additional stint as interim artistic director from 2018 to 2020. Tonight, we'll hear from those who knew him well, from inside the TSO, and from two soloists who had the privilege of repeat collaborations with him, starting right now with a renowned Canadian violinist. James Ennis, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you, and I'm sorry that this time it is for such a sad occasion. Of course, here in Toronto, the loss of Sir Andrew Davis really hits home, but I'm wondering about your relationship with him. How did you, or when did you first start working with him?
Well, I was very lucky to get to know Andrew when I was quite young through the Toronto Symphony and through Walter Homburger, the former executive director, who really raised me in the business. So I think even though Andrew was obviously a generation older than me, we had that in common in that this wonderful man in Toronto had kind of played this formative role for each of us, really launching our careers. And I think the first time I played with Andrew, I was about 18 years old. He was just the most wonderful man. I know you probably are hearing that all the time from everybody as you're talking to people, but it's really true. As we celebrate him as a musician, I mean, he could have been a terrible musician and he still would have been one of the most wonderful people. He had that incredible kindness and charm, and he was extremely funny. In our relationship, he was incredible that in the transition between, you know, being my elder and my mentor and my teacher in a way, to this relationship as colleagues and friends, was so seamless. I think I probably played as many concerts or more with him than any other conductor.
Really?
In my career. And we made 5 CDs together, spent time on 4 continents, maybe. So it's really, it was a wonderful gift to have him as a friend in my life and to have as a friend someone with whom I shared such a special musical bond and such a shared sense of what music should be or could be. I'll miss that more than I can say.
You refer to him, you know, in your younger years as something of a teacher for you. What would you say were the biggest lessons that you learned from him?
In terms of musical lessons, they were subtle. They were things that would almost be difficult to describe. Little things here and there, you know. It was always in the kindest way. You know, might you think of that phrase a little more lyrically? Or, you know, might you think of this a little faster or a little slower? This and that. And his way of making music, it was so natural and it was so honest. It's the kind of music making that it's my favorite. And so when he would have a bit of advice, you know, that really would strike home because it was like, yes, that's what I'm trying to do, but have not yet learned how to do. Then that became just wonderful as, you know, over the years, as we would get together and explore more and more pieces of the repertoire, sometimes on the more outer fringes of the regular repertoire because of the standard stuff. I was lucky to play basically all of it with him.
What has been one of your favorite pieces to work with Sir Andrew on?
You know, they were all my favorite. I know that sounds like a cop-out, but certainly one of the recordings I made with him of the Elgar Violin Concerto, that's one that will always be very, very special to me. We were on a tour with the Philharmonia Orchestra, and we got to perform it, I think, 7 times in 8 days or something like that. And to really live with a piece like that and then be able to set it down for a recording that will live on, that was a special opportunity and one that meant a great deal to me. But, you know, I should also say that one of the most incredible things about him as a conductor and as a musician is I think he made every soloist feel this way. Like, I do truly believe, you know, through our friendship and our years together, you know, I know that we did share a certain musical bond that way. But every soloist that worked with him, he made them feel so incredibly supported and made them feel validated in everything they did. I mean, he was unquestionably one of the world's favorite concerto accompanists. Every colleague of mine that I talked to was like, I love playing with Andrew because he would accompany, like, he was like a glove.
Wow.
Incredibly flexible and incredibly intuitive. He would get to know a player, and it was like he had this sort of sixth sense of knowing how that person was going to breathe and how that music was going to flex and stretch.
You participated in what turned out to be one of his last recordings, playing the Stravinsky Violin Concerto. What kind of shape was he in at that point?
He was in a wonderful place that day. He was, how to say this, even during the hardest times, following, you know, the passing of his wife and going through the disease that eventually took him away, he always managed to be chipper. and he always tried to put on a brave face, but there were times that one could see that he was struggling. But for that Stravinsky session, he was just in great shape. He was having a wonderful time. You know, he had this incredible appetite for projects. And that day in Manchester, he was just so happy to be making music that he loved with an orchestra that he loved, and with, I would like to say, with me. And it was a great day. And yeah, that being our last recording together, actually, I think that was our last time together in person. We spoke after that, and last time I talked to him was on his birthday. But yeah, that's a happy memory to have, and an incredible gift for me to have this.
What will you miss most about him?
I'll miss how funny and kind he was. I'll miss the funny stories that are on a personal level. And then, you know, of course, musically, I think he was unique, and in that sense, he was irreplaceable. But just as a person, he was a very, very special man.
Well, James Ennis, I want to thank you so much for taking time to share your voice and your experience in paying tribute to a marvelous musical force.
My pleasure. Really nice to talk with you.
Violinist James Ennis. Let's hear some of that last recording that he made with Sir Andrew Davis. This is from Stravinsky's Violin Concerto, and you can hear the absolute alignment of soloist and orchestra, the result of the baton held by the man Ennis called the greatest concerto accompanist in the world. From Igor Stravinsky's Violin Concerto, that was one of the aria movements played by violinist James Ennis in his last collaboration with the late Sir Andrew Davis, who led the BBC Philharmonic in that recording. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. This is a special edition of Sunday Night at the TSO in memory of TSO conductor laureate Sir Andrew Davis. Another soloist who knew Sir Andrew well and worked with him over many years was pianist Louis Lortie, and he will join us later. But after the break, more often than not, when Sir Andrew's name comes up, a funny story is sure to follow. We'll have just that and a glimpse of what it was like to be in his orchestra. Stay tuned.
One of Andrew's coveted possessions, it was a poster of this particular version of Messiah, and it said, Toronto's Mega Messiah, now with marimba. And that was hanging proudly in his living room in Chicago.
That was Loie Follis, the TSO's Vice President of Artistic Planning, who has been with the orchestra since 1979. This is Sunday Night at the TSO. I'm Kathleen Kajioka, presenting a special episode in memory of the late Sir Andrew Davis on the New Classical FM. We just heard the Hallelujah Chorus from that Grammy-nominated Mega Messiah, premiered by the TSO in 2015, part of a colorful and epic new arrangement by Sir Andrew of Handel's beloved oratorio. A project which was a meeting of both his tremendous musicianship and his legendary sense of humor. More on the latter in a moment. Born in 1944 in Hertfordshire, England, Sir Andrew studied piano at the Royal College of Music and then at King's College, Cambridge, where he was an organ scholar. He went on to study conducting at the St. Cecilia National Academy. And after a stint as keyboardist for the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, he became associate conductor of the BBC Scottish Symphony and Philharmonia Orchestras. It was our TSO that offered him his first music directorship, which began in 1975. TSO violinist Leslie Dawn Knowles joined the orchestra that same year and has never forgotten her first impression of the then 31-year-old maestro.
My first impression of Sir Andrew Davis is, wow, this guy's like a young Beatle, this young British guy. He had this Beatles haircut and the wire-rimmed glasses, and I'm like, this is cool. And then he had this wonderful energy about him, and the accent, of course, was thoroughly charming. You know, and then he set to conducting, and it, my God, what a great conductor he already was. He was, you know, just a natural musician.
He didn't have to worry about being perfect, but you needed to want to make music. And I think he helped you make music. And he was always looking around and looking at you. And we're doing Brahms First this week, and I can remember doing Brahms First with him. And I always knew when I looked up in a particular place, he was going to be looking at the violas. And he looked at people individually, too. And he usually did it with a smile.
That was TSO violist Gary Leibovitz, who's been with the orchestra since 1973. That warm connection with each musician is legendary, as was, as I mentioned, his sense of humor.
There was a passage that the first violins were just kind of falling apart on, and we're playing away, and Sir Andrew is conducting, and then he looks over at the first violins, and he starts looking all around the section, trying to figure out, you know, what the heck is going on here. And, you know, we all look up at him. You better hope you're looking. So the whole section is now looking at him and following him exactly, except for two people. And those two people continued to just be like, just off. And they were not looking. And so he kind of looks and catches a few of our eyes. And then he got that famous Andrew Davis twinkle in his eye, which everybody talks about. It was really a thing. And then he quietly steps down off the podium while continuing to conduct and walks down the section and gets to right in front of their stand and stands over them, and they finally look up and he says, "You're behind," and turns around and walks back to the podium. And they both of them, I don't know what I thought was going to happen. They were completely stunned. Just those two words, "You're behind."
As James Ennis said earlier, even if Sir Andrew had been a terrible musician, he still would have been one of the most wonderful people. But he was a fantastic musician. Here again is violist Gary Leibovitz.
You know, when he wanted to be, it very, very clear he could. But generally, he could conduct the craziest parts in Heldenleben. The orchestra's playing fortissimo, and so many things are happening at the same time. And you look up at him, and he's hardly doing anything. He's just barely moving. But he's somehow gotten this sound to build and build and build and build, and effortlessly, really effortlessly.
Davis stepped down as TSO music director in 1988 and went on to direct the Glyndebourne Festival, the BBC and Melbourne Symphony Orchestras, and for 21 years was music director of the Chicago Lyric Opera. As Loie Follis recounts, through it all, he maintained strong ties with Toronto.
It really says something about Sir Andrew in that if you look at his biography, and now more recently his obituary, it's incredible to see the number of orchestras that he was titled with. He was emeritus and laureate at many, I would say almost most of the orchestras in which he was music director. And that really says something about the love that that orchestra and community had for Sir Andrew. So when he left after his 13 years as music director, he was named conductor laureate. And that title stayed all the way through. We always knew that he would come back annually. But important to note, too, that as conductor laureate, he came back a couple of times when we were in challenging situations, whether it was between music directors or a time where there was some instability. He came back like Superman or something and just came back and said, I will be here to try to work to stabilize things while the orchestra works to move to the next chapter and the next steps. So his role was really as really someone dedicated to the orchestra and there to step in as needed. Very generous, generous human being.
Here is Sir Andrew Davis leading the TSO in their 1986 recording of music that could very well describe the man himself. The exuberance and largesse of Jupiter, the bringer of jollity from Holst's The Planets. Jupiter, the bringer of jollity from the planets by Gustav Holst. That was a recording made by the TSO in 1986, led by then music director Andrew Davis, one of the 33 recordings he made with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. I'm Kathleen Kadrioka. This is Sunday Night at the TSO, a special edition in memory of Sir Andrew Davis. When we come back, we'll hear from the renowned Canadian pianist Louis Lortie, whose long musical relationship with Sir Andrew began as an 18-year-old touring with the TSO. And we just might hear from Sir Andrew himself. Stay tuned. On the new classical FM, the Viennese musical clock from the Herr Janosch Suite by Zoltán Kodály. That was Sir Andrew Davis leading the TSO. You're listening to Sunday Night at the TSO. I'm Kathleen Kadrioka, and this is a special edition in memory of Sir Andrew Davis. Sir Andrew, who was knighted in 1999, oversaw a vibrant time for the Toronto Symphony during his years as music director, which encompassed the opening of Roy Thomson Hall as the new home of the TSO, as well as several groundbreaking tours to Europe and to Canada's north, and, not least, an historic tour to China, which in 1978 had not welcomed a Canadian orchestra since the Cultural Revolution. A young piano soloist by the name of Louis Lortie was with them for that occasion, and he joins me now. Louis Lortie, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Good evening.
Tell us about how you first met Sir Andrew Davis.
I played with Sir Andrew because he auditioned me when I was only 16 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Just a normal, ordinary student. And I received a call because I had just played in Toronto. And there was a very wise producer at that time whose name was Franz Kramer. And Franz said when Andrew was looking for new people, the young generation, he said, you should call this young man and listen to him by yourself. So I played for him. And my mother always told me, I had sort of forgotten, but she said, oh, you always complained that you had played so badly at that audition. And strangely enough, just very a small amount of time after I received a call that Sir Andrew wanted me as a soloist for the first tour, I think, by a Western orchestra after the Cultural Revolution in China. So it was an unbelievable event for me. It was my first international tour.
What an incredible opportunity, right at the launch of your career. I can imagine it would be absolutely indelible. Are there any particular memories you have of Sir Andrew Davis from that tour? What was it like to share that experience with him?
Oh, it was unbelievable because there was this curiosity, this sense of discovery. And I remember that Andrew very wisely programmed the Beethoven Fifth Symphony. I think it's the best thing you can program for a return of a nation to classical music, which where it was forbidden to be played. And it's probably the most triumphant piece of music ever written. And of course, the evening that we will always remember, the ones who are still there to remember that event, was in Beijing in a big stadium. We played that piece for 18,000 people. And so many people wanted to hear the performance that they were coming in and out of the concert hall while the symphony was being played, because some people, you know, I don't know, they had a cousin or they had somebody who wanted to share their ticket. So you just had this constant go and come back of people, and just incredible amount of motion. But we were not disturbed because we understood what it meant for them, and that we had to cope with those very different conditions of behavior with the public. It was just unbelievable.
I was speaking earlier with James Ennis, who described how deeply sensitive he was when it came to accompanying soloists. Working with him as a collaborator from such a young age, I wonder if did it maybe spoil you a bit when it came to what to expect from a concerto conductor, just in the sense of, you know, discovering that, yeah, you couldn't take that level for granted.
I'm really still crushed, because I know that I will probably never find this kind of, especially after more than 40 years, you know each other's soul, and especially with time, with age, this type of conducting became even more efficient than before. I mean, he used less gestures. He was even more concentrated on the way he indicated things. He was speaking even less. Everything was coming through very small gestures, some, you know, looks that he had at some players. I mean, you could just breathe what he wanted to do with the piece. It was completely magical.
Louis Lortie, I want to thank you so much for taking time to help us remember and honor Sir Andrew Davis tonight.
My great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Take care. Canadian piano soloist Louis Lortie. Sir Andrew Davis conducted approximately 1,000 concerts with the TSO. His last appearance was this past November, a Remembrance Day program, which, touchingly, included the premiere of a work by his son Edward, and on the second half, Fauré's Requiem, performances which I am sure no one present will now forget. The Ambrosian Singers and the Philharmonia Orchestra, led by the late Sir Andrew Davis, In Paradisum from Fauré's Requiem, literally the last notes that Sir Andrew conducted with our TSO in his final performance here last November, the unexpected finale of a relationship of 50 years, 1,000 concerts, 33 recordings, and countless memories, all of which began in 1974. We've heard a lot tonight about his impact on the musicians he worked with and about the Toronto Symphony Orchestra upon him. Let's hear from Sir Andrew on his years as TSO music director.
In 1975, I was 31 and quite wet behind the ears, I suppose, and had never been in charge of a North American orchestra. I learned what it meant to be a music director and what the responsibilities were. But most of all, I tried to put into practice what has become my constant aim when I'm on the podium, which is to bring music as vitally alive as I possibly can, and to bring to the orchestra that sense of how privileged we are to do what we do, how lucky we are, really, to be able to bring this great treasure house of music to the public. So that's my entire philosophy, you might say, when it comes to performing and rehearsing and making music in general.
Sir Andrew Davis, TSO music director from 1975 to 1988, and conductor laureate thereafter until his death 3 weeks ago at the age of 80. Sir Andrew, rest in music. This has been a special edition of Sunday Night at the TSO.
Many thanks to our guests tonight, James Ennis, Loie Fallas, Leslie Dawn Knowles, Gary Leibovitz, and Louis Lourti, for sharing their memories with us. I'm Kathleen Kadjioka. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll be back next week with a regular edition of Sunday Night at the TSO. Stay with us now. Sunday Night at the Opera is next with Alexa Petrenko right here on the New Classical FM. Beautiful music for a crazy world.